Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives. And we thank you, Father, for cleaning this group up. And we praise you and we glorify you. We thank you, Lord, for all the prayers that have been answered. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we have the word that we can go and live by. And Lord, we just praise you. We glorify you for leading us into the things that you'd have us to talk about and study over. And I just thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for all the healings and deliverances and circumstances that have been corrected. And we praise you, Father, for answering all of our prayers. And I thank you, Lord, for keeping us on that narrow road. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Lord, that everybody that's seeking healing is already experiencing healing in their bodies. It's already done. You said in your word, 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you were healed. And we praise you. We confess it. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Glory. Hallelujah. And I praise you, Father, that we also have DNA restoration in our bodies. And we all that are up there in a little bit of age is going backwards now in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, Joe? Amen, brother. Glory to God. Amen. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests? Yeah, Missy.
I have two relatively minor things in the scope of things in life, but my Bluetooth ear thingy jiggers. I went to use them the other day and they wouldn't turn on. And I don't know if it's that they won't charge. I put them in and they lit up briefly, and as far as saying that it was charging, but then it doesn't. I don't know what's wrong with them, but they don't work. And so I just command these things to be fixed and work in Jesus' name. I haven't had them very long. They were working perfectly fine the last time I used them. So in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for fixing these. And then we got an ant issue. It's not absolutely horrendous, but we got an ant issue. And so I just command the pestilent spirits to go out of this house in the name of Jesus. And we just command those ants to die, to leave, whatever. I just don't want them in this house no more in the name of Jesus.
Amen. We command every ant to line up, march outside of that house and die and be fertilizer for her yard in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father. Glory to God. Amen. That's done. And that we command that earphone or that headphones to be working in the name of Jesus. And she's going to confess that they are working from this point on. And she ain't got no ants in that house either. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God.
No ants, and my Bluetooth works. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Everything works just like a brand new one.
Nothing too hard for you, Lord.
Nope, there's not.
And I guess I also want to, what is today? Today's Tuesday. I'm starting to be Michael and not know which day it is. Anyway, I'm planning on leaving, Lord willing, Friday and going visiting my family for the weekend. So I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for a good visit with everybody. Safe travels there and back, and good gas mileage and no backups and no mishaps and all that stuff. But your angels around about me there and back, and we just have a great time with my family and help me, Lord, to be always cognitive or aware in the spiritual realm while I'm there, see things and pray according to things I see that and I hear, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for peace and joy in the midst of my visit with everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Sunil wants a new job, so we're going to pray that he gets a new job in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask and we pray that the first job that he looks at that he wants, Lord, that you would guide him to that job that he needs and you want him to have. And I thank you, Father, that it's going to be a quick and easy transition from one job to the next. And I praise you and glorify you that Sunil's got the job that you want him to have in the name of Jesus. And we believe for him, Lord, that this is going to be done within 2 weeks' time in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. We declare and decree it in the, by the blood of Jesus that it is done. Okay, Sunil, look for it. It's coming. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Lana.
Hey everybody. I have
Come
a
on.
couple of prayer requests, and Max says he has a testimony. We have been kind of inundated with carpenter bees, or boring bees as they call them, because we have a raw wooden back porch or deck, if you will. And it seemed like there was not too many of them. And then about a week ago, when we were grilling, we played tennis with them. If you catch my drift. And no matter how many we kept killing, man, another one would show up to replace it. And by the grace of God, I've had no fear, no concerns with us being out there. I've been teaching the kids not to chase them and not to aggravate them, and I've been trusting the Lord that they are not going to hurt my children or myself. And that has been the case for, since they showed up as soon as the weather got warm. But they are a nuisance. They're constantly, and they're huge, and they're buzzing around like
Never
little, fighter jets. They're not quite that slick, really. But so Father God, we come against this pestilence, as Missy was praying earlier. And Father God, we thank you that your warrior angels have been protecting me and my children, Father God, and that we have not been harmed by these things. But they are a nuisance, constantly buzzing around, that you don't even want to be out there, Father God. So I ask, Father God, for you to intervene and remove these things. And we thank you, Father God, that you will do it, and that we don't have to rely on the arm of the flesh to do anything about them. I praise you and thank you for doing this, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you that we put our faith up in line and it is done. Those carpenter bees are gone in
Amen.
Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. As long as they live in that house, no carpenter bees in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Glory be to God.
My other prayer request, the enemy doesn't really want me to bring this up. I know it's the enemy, because I should be bringing these things to our brothers and sisters, because y'all will pray with me and stand in faith, and the Lord is going to show favor. But I wish this thing was done. Our landlord called me today and tried to manipulate me into showing up to court tomorrow. And after he had talked to Theo, and Theo has clearly told him no. And so I told him, hey, I'm willing to go if my husband okays it to go. So he left it at that. He clearly knows Theo said no. But he's supposed to stop by the house tomorrow with his lawyer to take a look at some of the damage that has been reported or recorded. And I don't feel, I'm not obligated to go to court. I know that. I'm not obligated to be a people pleaser or anything like that, but just from my past, I feel bad because he tried to manipulate me, and I like to be nice to people. So Father God, I'm going to leave it at that. I thank you so much for your favor. I thank you, Father God, that I don't have to go to court. I've explained to him that we just simply don't want to be involved, and that he's going to come here tomorrow, Father God, and it's going to be a pleasant visit, that he won't ask too many questions. It will be left alone, Father God, and that you will grace them with your favor in whichever direction this goes, Father God. We just simply thank you, Father God, for keeping us out of this and continuing to give us favor with Bill. And we also do not want to have Dorothy having a grudge on us for not taking her side either, Father God. And I just thank you for working this out, Father God. I cast off this condemnation, guilt, any spirits of false burden, Father God. And I thank you for a joy and a rest and complete peace, Father God, tonight and during Bill's visit tomorrow, and whatever happens in court is, Father God, of whatever you will, because you are sovereign. And I thank you for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Julie.
Well, I also just, we just come together as a body on Theo and Lana's behalf here. And I just thank you, Lord, that the lawyer and the landlord are not going to try to trap with their words anything to get Lana to say anything. That there's not going to be any questions they're going to ask her that they haven't already been asked and answered in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for your protection on Lana and the kids there, Father, because when Theo's not there, the man's not there, Lord, that they may try to take advantage of any kind of, we just bind up all lying and seducing and charming and sneaky spirits. They would try to get her to say something that they might be able to use. It's already been questioned and answered by Theo. So we thank you, Lord, that those enemies are bound and gagged in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for giving Lana complete peace and that she doesn't have to answer anything. Thank you, Lord, that they've already got all the evidence they need. They've already got all the reports that they need. They got what they need, and they don't need to harass our sister in any way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. She's going to be left completely out of it in the name of Jesus. We don't accept anything else. And we thank you, Father, for doing this for Lana and Theo. Thank you, Father. Because we're Christians, we don't want to get involved in lawyer things. Thank you, Father. Lord, hallelujah. And I know you're going to do this for her. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, Geneva.
Hey, everyone. I just want to ask for a prayer for me and Marissa's friend, Becca. So the baby boy's with Jesus now. And you all could just pray. My heart's been pretty heavy, and I know Marissa's has too. Just to pray for Becca right now, and that the Lord blesses her faith and just gives her complete comfort. And I also want to believe that he's, in Jesus' name, that he'll, that she will get pregnant again soon and a baby will come forth. I want to believe that for her.
Yeah.
And, you know, just, I just want to put this in the Lord's hands.
Okay. All right, we lift up Becca to you, Lord. We thank you, Father, that this next baby is coming real soon, and there's not going to be anything. We bless this baby in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that there's not going to be one thing wrong with him. It's going to be a beautiful baby. And I don't know whether they want a boy or a girl, but whatever they want, Lord, I ask that you grant it to them. In the name of Jesus, we praise you for it, Father. Because we know she's going to have a great testimony this time next year. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Ooh, everybody believe that for Becca? And her husband's name was what?
His name is James.
James.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father.
I'd like
for James
to
and Becca.
Too.
Glory be to God.
I'd like to add on something to that, too.
Yeah,
we just lift up Rebecca to you. For, against every spirit of lies, we bind all lies, accusations, guilt, condemnation, blaming herself. And their family members, Father. Just bind up any spirits that would speak anything that would bring any kind of hurt to her in the name of Jesus. No negative talk, no blaming, no shame, no guilt, no condemnation. I thank you, Father, that You do all things well, Lord, and you know everything, and you know what this is all about, Father. So I just pray, God, that you just draw them very close to you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, I had to turn off my VPN, but I've got supernatural VPN on my end here. Thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name, keep them evil people out, Lord of God. All right, Lana.
Hey, I just wanted to share something the Lord has brought to my attention. Since we had been praying about Marissa and now Becca, I've noticed that, at least from what I've observed, and also because this is sticking out in my mind, so I think it's of the Lord, that whenever young pregnant mothers or any pregnant mother go into the doctor's office and do these anatomy scans, they're always coming up with a horribly bad report.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm going to leave it. I've never done anatomy scans on my kids because I've avoided everything I could besides the necessary. And so I just want to pray, Father God, I pray for a spirit of discernment, wisdom, faith, and trust in the mothers that are of your elect to forgo all this extra testing that brings these trials onto them, that find these problems big and small and create these bad reports that your word says to cast down. Father God, I just ask that you have mercy, and so that the mothers, Father God, can continue to walk in faith and enjoy and give birth to beautiful, healthy babies and not have to dig for themselves up these bad reports that these fantastic machines are so good at doing, Father God. I just come against this. I come against this curse. I come against this witchcraft, Father God. And I thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy, Father God, toward your elect, so that they keep away from this stuff and they don't do more than what is absolutely necessary for the health of the baby, if anything at all. Because we know, Father God, that you are the creator of us and every baby that we carry in our womb, Father God. You are sovereign and you have a plan, Father God, and we can trust you. And I thank you that you are giving that understanding and that faith into the hearts of these young mothers as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And I mean, amen. Stay away from pharmakia. Thank you, Lord. I always got the bad report. All right, Benjamin, how you doing, bud?
I'm very good. How are you?
I am better than good.
Awesome.
I am better.
Blessed beyond my wildest dreams.
There you go.
I got two good testimonies with me right now in the holster. Awesome. I just got off the phone with Jake, and he told me about a day ago that he had some sort of experience with God, and we were just talking about it tonight. I know. I'm looking at all those faces. he said that he had, like, he was stiff in bed and that he felt like some sort of, I'm going to say, spirit come on to him. I'm sure he could describe it better, but he felt a repentive spirit, and he started repenting of, just lust, lasciviousness, and all these things that he's been doing, even though he knew they were wrong. And he just wanted to call me and tell me that. And I told him, like, dude, I prayed for you, like, literally the day before that. And I really wanted to cling on to him that, yes, you just got a deliverance of something, and I'm so thankful for it. But you have to remember that.
Praise,
yeah,
God.
Awesome. Praise God. I'm so happy. And he even said, like, do you think that there's something, like, wrong with me? And I'm like, well, I didn't want to get into so much that he's doing wrong, but I said, cases where Christians can have demons in them because it's everywhere. And just keep praying for a repentive spirit and keep walking in Christ day by day. And I kept telling him, like, you have been delivered, but you got to remember the authority that you have, because the devil's going to fight you on it every day. And that you're going to have to keep fighting for that. You're going to have to keep fighting the devil. And it's going to get to a point where you're going to get really good at it, that you're just going to be doing it right away. And it was so good because, I don't know, I think we talked for about 40 minutes. That's why I'm late on here, is for a good testimony to tell you guys, like,
praise God.
Amen. Praise God.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Thank you, Jesus.
And my other buddy, Clayton, I was able to tell him about his salvation. And he took it pretty well. He was very open-minded. He said, I don't know if I'm going to make some sort of confession today, but I think that there's some truth in what you're talking about. And I said, well, at least there's something there. And we talked a lot about, I even talked about Bible prophecy, but I didn't want to talk too much about it because I mostly wanted to tell him that it's Christ within him and that we're striving for a life of Christ instead of our own life. That's what I wanted to gear it towards. I didn't want to say too much.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. He's coming in too.
Coming
in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And I was hoping for some prayer too. I've been noticing lately that I've been saying stuff that I really shouldn't be saying. Just like, not like mean stuff, but like poke fun stuff, like poking fun at people. And I don't really want to do that anymore because it's not very Christ-like. And, you know, like even like mean stuff. I'm going to call it, like, I'm going to confess this. I've been saying some mean stuff lately and it's just like, why am I doing that? And then I repent and then, you know, I believe that it's gone, but it's been happening. And I don't know why, because when I first started this walk, that was one of the first things that went, was my vocabulary got much better.
Thank you, Father. I think that happened to most of us.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in Ben. We praise you, Father, for his reaching out to his friends. And, Lord, we thank you that they're coming in, too, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. That's awesome, Ben.
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. All right, Matthew, what you got, brother?
Yes, I would like to lift up my daughter, Shoshana. She's been running a fever today. She's been peeing pretty hard lately. So just have y'all agree with me. So,
right.
Lord, in the name of Jesus, we command this fever to go right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you took away her pain, Lord, so that she has no discomfort and that she feels 110% better. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We thank you, Father, that she's going to get a good night's sleep tonight also. And tomorrow morning, she's going to be so much better. Matter of fact, she'll be completely healed because you're not a God that does it halfway. We praise you, Father, for taking this spirit of infirmity off of her. And then we thank you, Lord, that it is gone. Matthew commanded it to go. It has to go. He's the authority there. It's gone. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Isaac.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
Hey, bud.
Hey. Loved y'all's testimonies, prayers. Awesome. I want to give a testimony. It starts off a little sad, a little somber, so, but it gets better. But it was the one I texted in the chat. So I want to give it. So, Saturday, It was a really beautiful day out here. And I was walking in the woods. I love to be out in the woods and just walk around. A lot of times I find that's where I can really pray and just, I don't know, I just love it. I've always had, even as a kid, love it. And I was raised, you know, living in the woods, honestly. So I was walking around. I thought, you know what? I'll look around for some morels. Some, I don't know if y'all know what morels is. I know, well, a lot of y'all do because y'all mentioned it in the chat. I never had them, never seen one before, but I've always heard about them, but they're very elusive. You got to be very quiet when you're looking for morels because they can hear you. Anyways, so anyways, I was looking for morels and I didn't see any, but I was on my way back to the house. And I said a prayer to the Lord. I said, Lord, you know, I just want to say a prayer. Because sometimes you just want to say a prayer because you just want it to be answered because you just want your faith to increase and you want to talk to the Lord and you want to see what he's, you want your Father to do things for you, right? You know, you get it. Anyways, I said, Lord, let me find a morel. And I kept walking. Well, I didn't see anything. So I went home after a while. So anyways, so Sunday happened. That was Saturday. And it, I didn't really much think about it anymore after that. Sunday, I woke up and, we do our chores. We do all our stuff and, we read the word, but part of the chores, we go and feed all the animals and we walked out there and we fed the chickens and we're feeding the rabbits. And I look and I see the mama rabbit. She's the one that, has babies right now. My boy said, Dad, she's laying down. She ain't moving. I said, what? So I go and look at her and she's got all kinds of mucus around her face. And what happens with that is they choke, rabbits choke because they can't regurgitate. And so they must have happened at night. I don't know, but she was done and gone. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. It struck me in the heart, like unbelief when I seen it. And I've had experiences with this before, even with those dead baby rabbits. They were cold and dead. And I looked at Isaiah that time ago and I pulled one up out and it was stuck halfway in the mesh and facing the ground. And I can't even imagine surviving that. And all, let alone it was super cold that day. They have to, you can bring it out in 70 degree weather, little baby, and they'll sit there and shiver. You know what I mean? Now they're good for it, but they just do it. I don't know why. Anyways. But this day was really cold and, we prayed and that thing wasn't moving because I looked at Isaiah and I said, well, let's use your childlike faith and let's pray. So we prayed and we looked at it and it just turned around and just got a big yawn now. And it was awesome. That was then. And that really blessed my heart. And it's a trial of my faith of where the Lord's getting me to at a point. And every time though, I don't believe to a point. I believe for the whole manifested healing. So bear with me if I say anything incorrect. That's okay because I believe for the whole thing every time. But I seen this rabbit, man, like is dead and it just really bothered me. And I didn't want to accept it. I didn't know what to do. I sat there and pondered it for a minute. I pondered, do I even have the faith for this? And that's probably the wrong thing to be thinking in the first place, right? You're already kind of, you know, trying to make up ground. My kids couldn't accept it. Isaiah's said, it's not dead. I don't believe it. You know, kids got faith. I mean, so does Israel. And well, I laid my hand on it and I prayed and I believed and I gave it to the Lord and I had to repent from belief. And, I just let it there. And I'm not trying to drag this out. And I'm not trying to wreck anybody's faith because, listen, I have seen this myself. I've seen it. Man, I'm telling you, I've seen it. It just struck me hard. And I eventually thought about it. You know, Jesus would have sat there, you know, and think about Lazarus. If he was really worried about it, he took off running there, right? He waited. He already knew. Well, and it does dawn on me. Well, Isaac, you need more word in you. You get too distracted with work. You work, you know, really hard, whether at home or at work. But long story short, We did some spiritual warfare against unbelief. You know, I've tossed back and forth in it. So I'm just being honest with you guys and telling the truth. But it was a hard day, man, because now we've got these six baby rabbits that were, you know, that their eyes ain't even open. We got to feed them milk. You know, they're little bitty guys. And it bothers me because she was such a good mother. Anyways, well, you know, I opened up the word and just randomly fell on Mark 9 talking about the, hang on 1 second. What is it, Israel? The name of what? Well, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's a good point. So anyways, so I opened to Mark 9 and read. I mean, it was, I just opened a Bible. I just opened it. Just to read. Like I told you, you know, it's funny. I told you guys this a few weeks ago. Sometimes I just open a Bible and read it. Well, I landed on Mark 9, where the man said he brought his son who followeth, and he had a demon, and the apostles couldn't cast it out. And he said, and Jesus said, oh, you faithless and perverse generation, how much longer shall I bear with you? Man, if that was not me, and it was. And then he said, and then that man said, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us. I think it was. I might be wrong about that, paraphrasing. And he goes, if thou canst, and you can imagine how Jesus said it. You know, I'm sure he didn't say it like, but I'm sure he said it with authority. If thou canst, like more of like, believe people, believe. What more do I need to do? Believe. And I've seen amazing things in my life, just absolutely tremendous things. And why would I doubt? Anyways, because the Lord's doing something here. So I just want to say that this Christ in me, the Lord's going to perfect that. And so I'm going to say that, but I'm going to keep on with the story. So anyways, he said, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And that was so pertinent to what I was going through at the moment, because that's what I opened to, just read it. And it was tough. Anyways, the day went on. I had to go. And here's another funny thing. We named the rabbit Clementine. That's what Israel wanted me to say. We named it Clementine. We named them little names, whatever. You can imagine names do have little power. That Clementine name, you know, oh, Clementine.
My darling.
Yeah, oh, my darling Clementine that are gone and lost forever. You know that song. And I told Marin and I said, you know, the funny thing was, guys, I'm telling you the truth here. Saturday, I thought about the name Clementine because I sat in there watched them eat. And I thought, man, I don't know if I'll agree with them. I don't know. I've named some stupid names. Don't get me wrong. I've named some dumb names, man. Funny, just for fun. But I thought about it that day. And, you know, it probably wasn't my thought, honestly. It's probably the Lord. I should have named it Clementine. That may sound trivial. Nothing wrong. If anybody knows anything in Clementine, they're going to have good health. Don't you worry. Great. They're blessed. Jesus' name. It's a situation for us. Beautiful name. Anyways. So, where was I going? So we were working on the fencing because we don't want chickens getting into yards, people's yards and stuff. So we're working on the fencing around the house and because they had some damaged spots. Anyways, I'm outside. I don't mean it's bad or, rude or, you know, derogatory or anything, but we were, I'm outside working. I use the bathroom. Okay. And I look down and there's this morel mushroom just sitting there. And I never seen it. It was right there, like right. I didn't see it. I just, because it's all, everything is so heavy on my heart and heavy on my mind. Everything's so heavy on me that day. And I looked down and there was this morel mushroom sticking up out of the ground. And I said, oh, I said, that's a morel mushroom. And I looked at Mariana and then it dawned on me. You know, Isaac, I do hear your prayers. Cause remember that was Saturday when I prayed that. It said, no, I wouldn't even look on this side of the property. This is part of the property where it's like, there's not a lot going on there. And man, it really touched my heart, man. Like it really, really touched my heart. There's this morel mushroom just right there. The Lord is saying, Isaac, I do hear. I was there for you. Right where I was. I'd say right where I need the bathroom on it. But that's where I was. Because that's what the Lord was doing. Anyways. I said, honey, let's just go out there and look. Let's just go out there in the same place I looked the day before. I just want to look because I didn't see anything. I don't know. I feel like the Lord's, let's just go look. Because I felt built up, right? We went up, got to about 40. I'll send y'all a picture. And then the next day we found, which is yesterday, 169. And then we found another 64. So we got 274 morel mushrooms. Wow, I've never. Yeah, that's amazing. You know, those things are like $200 a pound. Granted, I don't know anybody that buys them. But yeah, it was just like boom, everywhere. And I was there in the same spot I was looking, and there was nothing. And then the next day, here they were. And they take a 10-day growing period, right, where they can go. But yet there they were. I don't know. And it really blessed my heart. And I know this. God's doing miracles today. And he's still working on my faith. And he's giving me a measure of faith. You know, because I'm going to – because through Christ, what's impossible of man is possible of God. I say that all the time. And I know I'm expecting these miracles in these days. I'm expecting them today. And I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep believing. And I'm going to keep getting the word in me. I'll say this and I'll be done. I know it's long-winded. I apologize. But I had a dream last night. It's a really short one that I was – like this little baby, and I was fighting this massive giant, like almost like King Kong size giant, like head up in the clouds. And I was talking to my brother. I said, Nathan, watch this. I went to go fight him. Well, it didn't seem like a good dream to me. I don't want to be a baby. I don't want to be immature in Christ. But you know, I'm also, you know, just what it was. What is it? And I was listening to Ministry Today where David was talking about, you know, or I was listening to Ministry, I think last Sundays, where he's talking about, if you get the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and he goes on to talk about becoming as a child. And he goes, you know, when he went and those spirits and all the demons were subject to him, you know, he said, we have to be as children. And man, it just struck me so hard. Death is a major giant. It's a giant that can rattle and shake somebody. It's like, what is more permanent in the natural than death? I mean, it's such a permanent thing. You know, but just 2 weeks ago or so, I had a dream where Jesus just shut down the earth and conquered death. I remember looking in the dream and watching him do it. I watched him do it. It was an amazing dream. And Jesus conquered it, man. And, I guess what I was trying to say was this, is that that giant was death. And the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is those children. And if I need to humble myself and humble myself to the word, because Jesus called that child and, you know, come hither. He didn't really say come hither, but he brought the child to him. But yet the child went and humbled himself. And it goes on talking about, you know, Matthew 18 as well, where we get the rules and the regulations for faction and talking to your brother and the importance of unity and all that. So, you know, it goes on. But the thing is this, is that we will humble ourselves and come to the word because Jesus is the word. John 1:14. Man, death is conquered. And that, you know, so I said a really long, it's really a testimony. Like it is a testimony. I know it, but I'm also humbled and thankful for that one. And, I expect the miracle and I expect healing every single time. And I'm not, I glory God and thank you for his grace, because his grace is sufficient for me. I expect it and I'm still expecting. I just want to leave it at that. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I ain't never heard of anybody getting that many morel mushrooms in one sitting and one going out to one hunt. That's awesome.
I've never either.
If you get a half a dozen of them, you're doing good, you know.
Right. But
200 and how many?
274, and I went out there and there's none the day before.
Oh, my gracious. Lord just blessed you, brother.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
When are you going to invite all of us up? That's just what I'm asking.
Buddy, I'd love to share them. I would be so thrilled to do that.
I'm telling you, those are awesome. I like them.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Okay. What do y'all want to do? I got Marilyn and Barry over here got their hand up.
I just want to say quickly, it's like, well, if God did that to Isaac, he'll do that for any of us.
Amen. You
know, Lord, I want to find some more mushrooms too.
Amen. What about you, Missy?
That is resurrection power. They came up out of the dirt. Out of nowhere. That is resurrection power, Isaac.
Amen. Yeah.
That's amazing, Missy, because it comes out of the dead stuff. That's what the fungus does. What a revelation. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
All right. Bite yourself on the back, Missy. There you go, girl. All right, Barry. Marilyn.
It's me. Benjamin, when you were speaking a few minutes ago, I think I heard you said you'd like to have some prayer as well as your testimonies, and Lord's kind of putting on my heart to pray for you. And Lord, we just thank you for Benjamin. He's such a blessing to the body. And we're so encouraged by the testimonies. And Father, when he was speaking about having a little problem there with the tongue, well, Father, we cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit. If this is some kind of unclean spirit that's trying to speak through him, we command you to go in Jesus' name. If it's flesh, you're dead and buried under the waters of baptism. So either way, you're gone. And Father, I just pray you'd put a guard upon Benjamin's lips. I pray, Father, that the words of his mouth and the meditations of his heart would be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, because thou art his strength and his redeemer. And Father, let no corrupt speech proceed from his mouth, that he speak only that which is good unto edifying, giving grace to all who hear, and that he always speak as an oracle of God. Father, I see that this young man has such a heart to evangelize, such a heart to share the gospel. Father, I pray just an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon him, anointing him, leading him. And Father, that you are giving him, you're going to be opening doors for him in divine appointments. And this, out of his belly is going to flow a river of living water. And we know some plant and some water, and God gets the increase. But Lord, you're going to use him in a mighty way. And I just thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I believe with Marilyn that Ben's going to be a great evangelist. Thank you, Father. Praise God. All right, Julie.
I have something I want to share. I just got a YouTube notification to something that I am not a subscriber to or get notifications for, but it popped up. And I'm like, why did I get this? And I just think the Lord wants me to share it and just read it. And it was on their post or probably on their community page. But again, I'm not subscribed to them. I looked, I double checked. I'm not subscribed to them. But it says, God made you amazing. Amazing to do great things. Amazing to help others. Amazing to make a difference. Amazing to do his work. He made you, he made the amazing you. Be God's amazing grace. So I just felt like the Lord wanted me to share that with everybody, that he did make us amazing, amazingly.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So thank you, Lord, for that to pop up on my YouTube feed where I don't subscribe. So, yeah, thank you, Lord. You did make us amazing to do your great and amazing things, Father. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Glory to God. Psalms 27:1 said, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I ain't scared of nothing. Y'all scared of anything? Not with Christ, I ain't. Glory be to God. Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over me. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. No. Romans 8:27, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Glory to God. We are. We're warriors that conquer the enemy. Romans 10:9-10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We confess those things that God has given us. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my needs. Glory to God. Everything that I need, he's got it. I don't have to go to man for nothing. I just ask God. Hebrews 4:14, let us hold fast our confession. Always hold fast your confession till it manifests. 1 Peter 2:6, he who believes on him will by no means put to shame. That's exactly right. Hey, Phil. Look at that. What has he got? A fire in the fireplace there? Lord of God. Go ahead, Theo.
Yeah, it's cold up here. There's still ice on the lakes. And
oh, my gracious.
It's I think it was negative four Celsius this morning. So what would that be? 20 something?
It's cold.
Fahrenheit? Yeah, it's cold.
That's cold.
Yeah, I had a testimony I wanted to share.
Okay.
So we've been struggling for a few days now with Gabe's knee. Every morning he wakes up and he can't walk, and his knee buckles underneath him, and his left one. And we kept praying for it, believing. And by the end of the day, he would be running around and be fine. But then in the morning, he wakes up and he can't walk again. And he falls and he cries, and like you try to massage his leg a little bit, you know, kind of stretch it a little bit, see if you can unbend it at least. And he would cry because it hurt. And we were just like, what's going on? You know, and Rion was sharing a testimony. What night was that? Anyway, about when his kids would fall sick with something, and it was usually his or Claire's fault. And they would repent of it, the kids would get their healings. And I was like, man, this is probably something I've done, you know? And the Lord just put it on my heart and Lana's heart. And we repented to each other of things, just little things that have been popping up. And the Lord just really blessed us that night. And we stayed up. I don't know how late we stayed up, but I just knew that morning, the next morning, we were going to get up and Gabe would be running around straight away, first thing in the morning. And you know what, guys? Praise God. I took him out of his little bed, and he just went running straight around just for his toys. And he was, oh, y'all, this is just awesome.
That's awesome.
God is so good. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for fixing Gabe and Theo and Lana, too. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. That's awesome.
Amen.
All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead. I had to sneeze.
Can I pray?
Sure. Yes, sir.
Can I pray Psalm 100? That's going to be a little different for all you. Don't be too shocked. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all your lands. Serve Jehovah with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. This is my little bit now. For your name is holy, holy Lord. Let the light of your word cover us. Let the truth of your word set us free. For your name is holy, holy Lord. Now, verse 3. Now Yahweh Jehovah, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Give thanks unto him and bless his name. For Jehovah is good. His loving kindness endureth forever, and his faithfulness unto all generations. Praise be to God. Thank you. That's all I want to share.
Thank you, Joe. You got a wonderful voice. When you come to Tennessee, we'll put you in the band. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Geneva.
I wanted to, I sent it on the outreach group chat, but I wanted to just go on and share, because it really blessed my faith a lot, about the car stopping in the middle of the road. I was driving home from, this was yesterday, driving home from, I just got done having dinner with an old friend of mine from high school and her mom. Her mom had been so excited that we're here and she wanted to make us dinner. But since high school, my friend has just fallen away from Christ. And I'll be completely honest, like, it's hard for me sometimes to, I don't know. I just need to pray for her and keep my mouth shut. So I'm just going to keep it at that. But anyways, I love her and I know the Lord's going to bring her around when it's the right time. When he's ready. So anyways, I was leaving there and I was getting kind of annoyed thinking about how, man, I went over there to have dinner and the whole time she was on her phone and I just spent the entire dinner talking to her mom and, you know, our thoughts and things. And then I was driving up a hill and on these like curvy country roads and the car just started to start. And it was like kind of pushing forward and going slow. And I was like, oh man, I was like, Lord, please no. Cause it's an old van. Like it's my mom's, it's like 1998 or something like that. But anyways, I was like, huh. So I just, it stopped finally. And I was actually uphill when it had stopped. So I real quick put it in park and I just sat there and somebody came by and they asked me, you know, if I was okay, if I needed help. And it's funny. The one time, right, I couldn't get a hold of Morgan. I couldn't get a hold of his brother, sister, anything that we live with. So his wife, sorry, I don't know why I said sister. But anyways, I couldn't get a hold of anybody. And so I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh Lord. And so it just dawned on me, you know, Geneva, like all of these thoughts, all of these things, like you need to cast them down and show love and forgiveness and, you know, and pray for Lindsay and really mean it from your heart. And so I just felt convicted. And so that's what, like when Theo said that just now about how like repenting, you know, sometimes I think that that really is key to the healing is repentance. And I just sat there and I started asking the Lord to forgive me, you know, for anything I'd said and for my frustrations and things that were not of him. And then I put my hands on the wheel and I was like, all right, Lord, like, you know, and I'm just going to believe and you're going to turn this car on. You're going to get me home. And, you know, by this time, like 10 cars had passed. So I just turned those hazards off and I put my hand on the wheel and it started right up. And I took off up the hill, you know, cause I mean, I was kind of in the middle of it, took off up the hill and the service engine light, all of that went off and I drove me all the way back home. So praise God for that. And when I got there, I told Martin, I was like, man,
Why did you pick up your phone? But I was like, that's okay. I was like, the Lord heard me. I was like, I drove home with faith. And he was like, amen. But anyway, so thank the Lord for that.
That's an awesome testimony. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, if something happens in your car, get out there and confess your sins and go on. Praise God. That's awesome. Thank you, Geneva, for doing that for us, sharing that with you. You shared it the other day in the outreach. There's a bunch of folks here that listens to this on the recording. I'll get blessed by it. Thank you, Father.
Amen. All Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right. Anybody else? Yes, it is. Okay. Well, I guess we can go into the Sovereign God book. And anybody got any suggestions about how we can utilize the syllabus that I sent out to everybody? Did everybody get a copy of it? Okay. Awesome. All right. I thought, yeah, Missy, you got a copy? Okay. I think we stopped at chapter 3 last time, but I want to start chapter 3 back over again. Is that all right with y'all? Because it's been weeks since we've been on here. God's sovereignty in world order. Now, in this syllabus, I was looking at it earlier. In this syllabus, it has questions there that we can ask when we, as we read along. And does that sound like something y'all want to do so we can get deeper into this or not? I think it'd be good. All right. All right, God's sovereignty in world order. That first question is, how do men rise to power? All right, let's see if we can find that out while I'm reading here. I'll start out reading. The king's heart is in, can y'all hear me okay? Is the volume okay? Okay, good. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the water course. He turns it whithersoever he will. Proverbs 21:1. It is amazing to me how many Christians today can be so ignorant of the sovereignty of God when there is so much of it in the Word. Though so many, even in the Old Testament, understood this truth. We would get a good argument if we said some of these things in most any church, but we should be able to say anything that the scripture says and feel good about it. When we quote the scriptures and we don't feel easy about it, it's because we are wrong in our thinking. In this way, we can know if we have false doctrine and our minds needs to be renewed. There are many verses ignored by the modern church because they are uncomfortable to the carnal mind. Here's one of those verses in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 17. The sentence is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the Holy One, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will, and sets up over it the lowest of men. Why is it that people do not understand this today? There are so many Christians today that are so politically minded, they think that they have the ability by banding together to put somebody in office that God does not want. Be careful about matching numbers with the wicked. According to the truth of the broad road, there is no moral majority. It's not by might, not by power. Throughout history, God has set up over the kingdoms of men, the lowest of men. God has a good reason for doing this. It was the reason that the lowest of men judged Jesus. And it's the same reason that we need the lowest of men to rule over us now. Good people will not nail you to a cross, but without the cross, there's no crown. Does anybody see the answer there? I'll go on then. In biblical times, when God's people fell into apostasy, he raised up a beast kingdom to crucify them into repentance. Six world ruling kingdoms, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, and Rome, were raised up to bring little Israel to their cross. Is it an accident that world kingdoms thought it important to subject the smallest of kingdoms? History and the word of God are plain, Ecclesiastes 1 and 9. That which hath been is that which shall be. And that which hath been done is that which shall be done, and there's no new thing under the sun. Now, to bring to repentance a worldwide apostate or fallen away church, God is raising up a seventh and eighth worldwide beast kingdom, which will incorporate the seed of all the previous kingdoms. Revelation 17:11. We read about Nebuchadnezzar, a man who was so proud of the great kingdom that he thought he had built. Daniel 4:30, the king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon which I have built for the royal dwelling place by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty?" And while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and thou shalt be driven from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. Thou shalt be made to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will." This vessel of clay taking credit for God's work reminds me of the statement made by the Titanic's engineer: "We built a boat that God could not sink." Ecclesiastes 5:2 says, "Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few." Okay, I'm going to stop there. Y'all see anything to the answer to the first question in any of this that I've just read? Yeah, Benita.
Yeah, I think it's come up twice. The verse, "Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomever he will." So the Lord, the Most High, is the one.
Amen. That's the answer to the first one. Anybody see that? Everybody see that? No? Yeah. Okay, good. All right. All right, the sovereignty of God instills respect. When King Nebuchadnezzar was walking in his palace bragging about his accomplishments, the Lord turned his mind over to the mind of a beast for seven times. This is a type of the last 7 years of tribulation when God would turn the kingdoms of the world over to Mystery Babylon with the mind of a beast. Revelation 17. For seven seasons, that great boastful king ate the grass of the fields until he came to the revelation that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will. Daniel 4:25. The first thing we should see here is that God made this arrogant man king and gave the rebellious people of God into his hand. God has repeated this havoc throughout history. God, through Daniel, warn the king of his judgment ahead of time to make him responsible, to repent. This is an example to us to fear God and not touch his glory. Amen. Anybody else want to read? Benita, you're unmuted.
I can read, though.
Okay, yeah, you go right ahead.
Okay. Sorry. Daniel 4:35, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. It is not the world that is important, it's God's plan, but those who are born from above. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Nobody can push God's hand away and say, what are you doing? Nobody can stop him from doing what he wants to do. This should give us faith, rest, and the fear of God, since God is doing exactly what he wants. Why does he set up these evil men over the world? We thought God wanted to go the other way with the world. He obviously does not share the majority's opinion on that. God has no interest in saving the world through world politics. He has never done it before. This is the thinking of ignorant Christians who want to help God out. Their plan is to always put Christians at the head to make favorable laws and judgments for us so that we will never be under persecution, oppression, or on the cross. The problem with this is that deeply spiritual men have no desire to rule over men. They only desire to serve the kingdom in fulfilling the Great Commission. Mark 10:42, and Jesus saith unto them, ye know that they who are accounted to rule over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. 43, but it is not so among you, but whosoever would become great among you shall be your minister or servant. Political Christians are left with those who desire power among men as their choice. These people and the world they rule over serve a larger plan of bringing sons to maturity. 2 Samuel 7:14, I will be his father and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. I think that's the answer to the second question almost. I'll go on. Political Christians would love to take away God's rod. If so many Christians did not have a name that lives while they are, wait, if so many Christians did not have a name that lives while they are dead, Revelation 3:1, there would be no need for the rod of men. When it comes to politics, I am totally neutral because I want to be on God's side, not man's side. God does not always want to put in the good man we think he wants to put in. He did not do it with Clinton, did he? Most Christians would agree with me there. God wanted to put a wicked man in office because a wicked man is the only kind that would bring this wicked country into the chastening it needs. God elected Clinton. Romans 13:1. Let every soul be in subjection to the higher power, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. God did not put Clinton in because that was his preference as a person, but because that was what we needed. No father prefers to chasten his child, but bless him. God put Bush in office because Christians asked him to. Now he can prove that Bush cannot save nor keep us from chastening me either.
All right, let's hold it right there for a minute. Y'all see the pattern here that God's doing. when the people of God wanted Bush in there, Bush was as bad, if not worse, than Clinton. You know, they just didn't, because Bush spouted out a few scriptures at times. They wanted him in there. Now, he's got to be a Christian, you know. No, he was worse than, he was just as bad as his dad was. But anyway, God just puts in who we need. Even today, we still, you know, we still, the things that we're seeing right now from Trump to Biden. How many of us see that Biden is not good? He's not good at all. In fact, he's probably one of the worst ones we've ever had in office. And now they're wanting to put Trump back in there, but Trump will be good for a little while, but is he going to be good during the whole thing? Oh no, but this quantum financial stuff that's coming on the streets that he's backing, that's going to be the catalyst for the mid-tribulation mark, looks like to me. Yeah, Missy.
When you said about how bad Biden is about being the worst, well, we thought Obama was bad, huh?
But he was.
He's just a continuation of Obama on steroids.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. Yeah. And I don't know who's orchestrating this thing, but it is, my gracious, it's just tearing this country slam up. But God. But God, yeah. Yeah, it's God doing it. For one reason, to get his people out of those apostate churches here in a little bit. Okay, Benita.
I was just going to say that, can you hear me still?
Yeah.
Well, the second question was how to get to your specific cross.
Yeah.
So I just thought I'd... I just was that verse, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. I mean, it's the tribulation and the chastening and the Babylon, you know, going under Babylon that brings us to our cross. So.
Well, hey, look, we're going to a cross right now. We're in an economic time that's not very good, you know. And but God, we depend on God for everything, don't we?
Amen. So,
yeah, this is a chastening that's fixing to come on us big time. Because God. Yeah, go ahead, Benita.
I'll just say to that, Michael, this should give us faith, rest, and the fear of God, like you said earlier. Amen. No fear in what's coming. Amen. Okay, so you may ask, I read that, didn't I? Okay. If you just, where was I? Romans.
Yeah, if you disagree with me.
Okay. If you do disagree with me on that, at least agree with me on this. There is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. This was written in the time of the Herods, Caesars, and the Neros. And after that, it was true of Hitler and Stalin. Listen, we cannot argue with the scripture if we want the truth. According to the word, if wicked men are in a position of power, God put them there. This gives me peace. I do not have to worry. I saw so many Christians worried that Bill Clinton was going to get into office. They were erroneously thinking that it was their responsibility to make sure the right man went in instead of just obeying God. I did not have to worry about that because my God reigns. I told many before Clinton's first term that God was going to put him into office. I was told that God would not do that. Well, he overruled them. God rules in the kingdom of men, and he rules in the heavens, and he never falls off the throne. Many are deceived into thinking that God's plan is to rule the world by democracy. In such a case, the Broad Road Gang wins. He already rules through theocracy. Romans 9:21 clearly states that he has vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. God has a good purpose for his vessels of dishonor, as we shall see.
Okay, let's stop right there. How many of you feel better about what's going on in the world already? I do. Because of what we just read, you know, it's all this stuff that's going on is God business. Our business is to get in the Word and forget about the news. Go ahead, Benita.
Who was it that killed Jesus? The Jews who were recognized as the people of God were the voters who cried, "Crucify him, crucify him." Let me show you who was behind the voters. Do you know that Barabbas means? Barabbas means son of the father. Barabbas was the criminal that represented us. The voters set Barabbas free and demanded that Jesus was crucified. Acts 2:22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God unto you by mighty works and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, even as ye yourself know, him being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye by the hand of lawless men did crucify and slay. God delivered up Jesus to lawless men. God could not use men who would not slay the Lamb. God put the people in power that would carry out his determinate counsel. Who was it that delivered up and smote the shepherd? It was not just Judas, Caiaphas, Herod, Pilate, the Romans, and the Jews, voters. We have to look behind all of them. Matthew 26:31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended in me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Even though all these vessels of dishonor are guilty, these are only secondary wills. We have to look behind the secondary wills and see the sovereign will of God. God said, I will smite the shepherd. Thank God his plan was not to stop there, because there's a lot more crucifying necessary. Zechariah 13:7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. God is sovereign, and his plan is to crucify the sheep, the little ones. How else can we account for the persecution of Christians throughout history, throughout the world? Unless we take up our cross and follow Jesus, we cannot be his disciples. Of course, we would like to get rid of evil governments and be accepted by the world so that we could enjoy the good life, but all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. If we are disciples of Christ, we will be persecuted.
Amen. Amen. We certainly will. I know over there in the Middle East, those people over there are getting beat up, machete, killed, shot, all of those things. Just 31 the other day. They're going through persecution. We've been going through persecution. It's not quite that bad, but still, it's persecution. But God's doing it for a reason, and he's telling us what the reason is. The reason is to get rid of us, let Jesus come alive, right? Okay, does anybody else want to give her a break? Give Benita a break? That next question was, what and who is important to God? So have we answered that yet? Boy, there's not much interaction tonight. What's the matter with y'all? All right, I'll read. Yeah, Claire, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm on my phone today, so I feel like I'm more disjointed than usual because I don't have my screen on. But okay. I'm listening and I'm loving it. And thank you, Vanita. He's doing this for his people, Michael. He only cares about his people. He loves us enough to put us through persecution so we can be refined, come out like gold.
Amen.
Thank you. Would you like me to read?
If you'd like to, yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. There we go. Just can you remind me where we are?
Jesus said, I am the way.
Yes. Cool. Okay. Jesus said, I am the way. The way to what? The way to heaven. How do you go? The same way Jesus went. If God were going to turn his hand upon the little ones in the way of crucifixion, would you take away his tools? How is God going to bring his plan to pass without the wicked being in rule? Can you see the earth, the dirt, and the plant? The dirt kills the seed coat, and the plant brings forth fruit. Sometimes God permits childlike thinking. If we understood some of these things without a good foundation, we might be tempted to charge God with doing evil, and of course, God never does evil. For this reason, God permits baby Christians to have this God is in the war with a devil concept. But when they mature and study the scriptures, they should come into the knowledge and understanding that God is sovereign and does not make mistakes. He is creating sons. He created and is using the wicked for the day of evil, and they are necessary to crucify the sons. Prosperity and freedom have caused us to lose sight of this. Matthew 16 and 24 says, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. 25. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Acts 4:27. For of a truth in this city against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, where the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel were gathered together, 28, to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel foreordained to come to pass. God foreordained these wicked men to crucify Jesus for our salvation, and his plan for us to be crucified as well. Not always physically, but absolutely the old man must die that the new man may live. God uses people around us to bring us to our cross. If you have ever thought, I don't need this person in my life, then you need this person in order to bear the fruit of Jesus. Difficult people are used to bring out the worst in us so that we may choose to walk in the light of the word and be cleansed of this corruption. 1 John 1 verse 7, or disobey the word and not bear fruit. This is the whole reason for the most hated command in the scriptures, non-resistance to evil. We are commanded to be as sheep in the midst of wolves, from Matthew 10 verse 16, to resist not evil, and to turn the other cheek in Matthew 5:39, to love our enemies, Matthew 5:44, to bless those who persecute us, Romans 12:14, and to avenge not ourselves, Romans 12:19. To list a few. These are the natural actions of the one who obeys Jesus and forgives from the heart. God will turn all others over to the tormentors or demons. Matthew 18:34 says, And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due. 35. So also shall my heavenly Father do unto you if you forgive not every one his brother from your hearts. When we are faced with the wicked and we obey these commands of non-resistance, we can feel the fiery trial burning up the wood, hay, and stubble of our old life. Every time our flesh rises up on the inside and we deny it, it dies, and we get more of the gold, silver, and precious stones. We are to consider flesh, self, or the old man to be dead, That's what Romans 6 verses 6 and 11 say. You can slap, insult, or rob a dead man and he will ignore you. Stop feeding the flesh and see how quickly it dies. We should see the crucifiers as God's gift to us, even if they are being used as vessels of dishonor. All these wicked people are gathered together to do whatsoever God's hand and God's counsel has foreordained to come to pass. In other words, God does not have any trouble out of any of them. They all do exactly what they're supposed to do. All these rebellious people fulfill the word, the will of God perfectly. Just as God works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, he also does in them. Proverbs 16 verse 9 says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Decide what you want to be, but no matter what you are, God will use you. Pity, forgive, and have mercy on those who are being used of God through the devil as vessels of dishonor. Some of them will repent through your prayers and faith. Amen. Psalm 75. Shall we be done? Do you want me to stop?
Well, there are some of these have been answered. Some of these questions have been answered. Are y'all seeing any of this? Is that a yes or no? I don't know. Okay. What do y'all want to do with these questions then? Do y'all want to just wait until we get through and answer them or try to answer them as we go? So we can bring it out. That's what I was thinking about, dude. Yeah, Andrew.
Well, question E, I believe, has been answered. Does God use persecution to mature us? Well, yeah, but not if you think about it, God sent someone to Europe in 1939, and I don't think we got our full answer for that yet, because I think the offshoot of World War II was World War I, and I think what's even going on today is an offshoot of all these wars. Because after World War I, we got a wonderful government called communism, and that was given to us by God, and they worked in unity at first. Stalin and Hitler, wonderfully. And a lot of people didn't learn their lesson from that. And of course, he double-crossed them after at Barbarossa. And but there are still people. For instance, I was the only one in my family that ever got to meet my grandmother. And even though I went there when I was 12 years old, so that would be 1974, it was still a communist nation then, but none of my other siblings got to even see. So there was quite a bit of stuff even that came after that, that I don't think man fully received his lesson. And of course, you know, the best way I can put it is what it says in Titus, about the Cretans. So what other nation do people put in there other than the Cretans? Idle bellies, evil beasts, says about them. You know, they tend to pick up things because of patriotism. And I think that this really shows why God does this. This could be the very simple answer would be seek ye first the kingdom of the Lord and his righteousness, and let him sanctify and cleanse you, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by his word. So I think the war to end all wars really isn't finished yet. And because you know, you go before these wars, before World War One, and you know, the Napoleonic Wars ended. You know, everything else ended and had its finale, but this one seems to be the outcome of one thing or another. The starvation in Russia brought about them getting rid of the Tsar and getting rid of a lot of the monarchs in Europe, and it just brought on some other problems there, because with the Tsar there, it would have been different, I think, if Nikolai wasn't dethroned. But then again, you know, I guess that's what had to happen. The Lord designed it that way, and you know, it took away their monarch, and China had a monarch too, and they have a different government now too, and a lot of the Western nations all wanted a piece of China to have a colony, I guess, and they ended up getting something that they have now. And so, and China being a clay nation, you know, it's just like in the past, you had other adversaries like Genghis Khan from Mongolia, who came all the way to Europe, to Hungary and Poland, where that was his greatest extent, all the way to the Pacific. So, and he attacked places also like Persia and Babylon. So he had a vast territory that he conquered. And he wasn't considered an iron nation. He was considered more a clay nation. And now all these nations are intermixed as we are entering into this iron and clay. Because you have the Russian side that has enveloped communication with some of these nations that were never formally Russian iron nations. They have their Confederacy of Nations on their side. The same with America, and even the same with China. So it's a interesting history, but you know, they all emulated what Babylon did to go conquer and colonize and capitalize, and even the nations that used to be here. So the indigenous people here were probably considered clay nations, and the chiefs, you know, were their monarchs, and they were taken over by the Europeans. And there are other things that are happening today where they're trying to force some of these nations in Africa to accept things that are social behaviors, like to try and force them to accept these imperialistic customs of I'll just come out and say it, abortion and same-sex marriage, LGBTQ, to make these nations of Africa to accept these things. That's the new kind of Western imperialism, and I don't think a lot of nations like that. Some even very wealthy nations. There's some really weird things going on. I don't know if I'm seeing old news, or I don't suggest to go through that stuff anyway. So there's a lot of things happening, and that's why it's good that we're reading this, because the smallest thing, what is it, if a tree falls in the forest, the Lord knows about it, He knows of a gold coin in a fish's mouth, and he knows when to send them. And he knows that that line he casts is going to be right in front of that fish when he needs to catch it. And he's going to have lunch too, plus pay the entrance fee, the toll fee, for him and Jesus to go through the door, perhaps for the rest of the whole day, or maybe even the week. I don't know if that half gold piece was for the whole week and they put their name down there for the whole week. You know, I was going to mention back in the years during the time of Perpetua, she had a girlfriend by the name of Felicitas, and she was a slave girl, but she was pregnant. But Perpetua was already scheduled to go into the Colosseum to die, and she was arrested for being a Christian. Perpetua wanted to go with her, but the thing that was preventing her was her pregnancy. And it was illegal for Romans in the old Roman Empire that recognized that this was a baby within this woman, not like we do today, some of the countries, that it was illegal for her to go into the Colosseum. But she wanted to go, so they prayed, and God gave birth to come premature for Felicitas. And she was just a young lady also. She was a slave girl, so she couldn't read, but Perpetua knew, came from an affluent family, and this was her friend and her sister. And they were both in their early 20s. And because God made the premature birth, and she even had a few days to breastfeed her child, she was capable of going with her friend because she wanted to go together, because it was considered a great honor to die for the Lord back then. And the point I'm getting across here is even the Roman Empire had some morality when it came to pregnant women, and knew that this was a woman with a child. And they believed in several gods and goddesses back then. So that's just the acceptance that we have. But we know that these items have been done because God wants them to happen. There's an order to this to make people wake up in the church, that there are no denominations, and that we have to go back to who is the head of the church. And well, that's just my little piece here that on how I see what God's doing for some of the more recent and even far things of the past that have happened.
Amen.
I'm trying to compare morality or anything, but
well, you know, they brought the same type of people over here after World War II that were running the country over there and killing folks. They brought them over here to do the same things. And that's the result of what we're seeing now and all of this garbage that they're uncovering in the...
And it's the same even on the Russian side, because they got their experts there too.
Yep.
I would even say that in other wars, China would have gotten their experts too. And the weird thing I always thought was, why were these companies going to China? You know, you had a really good ally like India to get their economy going, and they almost have the same amount of people. And yet they were allies, you know, and continued allies. But I don't tend to understand these things. I just tend to know that God has a plan, you see. Because you would think that since he went through a Vietnam War and a Korean War with China, that they would have picked someone safer rather than having all this economic ties with someone who was a mortal enemy. So either they fear China because they know perhaps something or other that it is written in the Book of Revelation about them, because you don't have a 200 million man army for nothing. You know? And maybe they fear this in the West. I don't know. But whatever it's for, you know, we still have to try and show the love of God. And this is the hardest part, to try and bring no judgment, but to bring salvation, to bring blessing, to bring love to these people. And it's not that easy for us to convey this to the people, because a lot of people have been just judged too much. Like, if you try to go and try and save a president or a prime minister, maybe they've been through so much judgment in their life, they can't hear the saving part of John 3:17. We come in that demeanor to save, not to judge. We come in the demeanor to deliver, to bless. We come in that demeanor of what it says in Mark's Great Commission, to deliver, to lay hands on the sick and have them recover. If you drink anything odd, or if you take up a serpent, it shall not harm you. And we're juggling serpents now, and they're not harming us, but we still have to go through these things so that we have our cross to bear. And it's sometimes difficult for people to do that, because we want to remain in that love, because we don't want to get destroyed, as it says in Matthew, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So just how much is going to be needed for some of these people to come to the Lord, who need to come to the Lord? Oh, look what it took for Saul to become Paul. And so God knows how to do it and what to do. And then, you just sometimes hope that all the humbling would be finally done and finished, you know. And how to collate this humbling with the love and stuff, and how to just come into this peace and this joy for no one to take away. Because, you know, people think joy is something that is happy in the world, but this joy is the reverse of that, because you're going to suffer for being righteous, and then he's making you righteous at the same time. So it's hard on the flesh. It's hard on the belly, and it's a joy in the spirit. So there's a lot of ways that this joy acts as your cross too. You know, so it's not that it's complicated, but it's something you need to meditate on too, because it just so interconnects wonderfully. And when you think about how it interconnects so wonderfully, and what he's actually trying to do with us, he's trying to show himself through us. We need that glorification to come. Called, predestined, called, justified, glorified. He wants to glorify himself through us. He, and that's more than just knowing all the stuff. You know, like he wants to show other people that there is a God through us, because we are his best examples. And sometimes, you know, we tend to forget that what he's trying to show forth here is a child of God. And this is how the first century Christianity spread so quickly and so much. You know, it's even told to us in Philippians chapter 1 that some of the guards that used to guard Caesar became a Christian. And of course, there was great persecution, and with it also a great revival for people to come to the Lord.
I tell you what makes me at rest is learning about and how the sovereignty of God works. And it's amazing how he does things, and everything that he does out there is for a reason. And that's awesome. So Neil asked this. He said, how do we resist Satan, but not evildoers? Satan is working through people, ? I guess that's because Satan is working through people. How do we resist Satan, but not evildoers? Well, has anybody got the answer to that? Yeah, Missy.
Well, for one, our wrestling is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and rulers of darkness. And another verse that came to me was, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. It's Satan and the demonic realm that's our enemy, not people. Mm-hmm. And they're being ruled over by these spirits and all. So it's warfare. It's warfare against their spirits and not the people. Yeah. I don't know if that answered, if that's.
Yeah, it answered it in a short way. It says, how do we resist Satan? And you just said it. That's a spiritual thing. We bind and loosen.
You know, there is an example in the book of Acts, not to cut you off, Michael, but when the Apostle Paul was giving a testimony before the rulers, like Festus, King Agrippa, and an audience of the elite of the nation. You know, he said something like this: to open their eyes, to turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto the power of God, yeah. To receive your remission of sins, to receive an inheritance among those sanctified by faith in Christ Jesus. And after this, Festus, the governor, says, Paul, you're mad for your much learning. And he said, answering very courteously and politely to his position, he said, most excellent Festus, I'm not mad. And what's his name? King Agrippa came and said, you almost convinced me to be a Christian. And he said, whether by little or by much, I would that you were, except for these bonds that I'm in, this arrest that I'm under, you know. And he stood up, walked out, and the first thing he said, away from the crowds, just Festus and the king and queen, maybe a few of the big wigs went in there, and he said, this man would have been set at liberty if he hadn't appealed to Caesar. So, you see, he handled the situation right, even in front of the elite of the nation, you know, because he knew by God how to answer. And this is a good answer too, because you want to reach these high people in high positions. You know, in the days of the kings and queens of Europe, there were some kings and queens that talked to some fairly high God people who wanted the word changed into their own language to be given to the people, and they got some favor with these kings and queens. And you know, today, where that Gutenberg Bible was printed, you know, they seem to have lost their way quite a bit. And so, you know, if God puts a person in a place where he could speak like Paul did to some of these people, then you'll see a revival. But who is that man that can do that? Who's going to volunteer to do that? Who? Does Paul do this in his own power when he keeps saying that he didn't do these things in his own power? Think not that I come to commend myself. I don't commend myself. He said quite a bit times that he's not trying to. He says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 twice in the same conversation that he's not trying to brag about himself, about how much he knows or stuff. He just wants to speak what the Lord would want him to speak in. And it's tough, and it's scary for us to try and bring the word to other people. And because you wonder if they're going to hear or not, and you wonder if you're going ahead of the Lord or not, because it has to be choreographed by God, of course. And of course, that's done differently with some. Some are, like Paul said, he called the people that were just the regular churchgoers much more bolder than he was. Or he gave them that he was weak, but they were strong. You know? And why did he say it that way? Why did he put it that way? Because their boldness came from the Lord too, but sometimes it's like when you try to bring someone to the Lord that it seemed a lot easier earlier in your life than it was now. It seems like people don't want to even hear or listen to that kind of stuff anymore. Anyway,
well, that comes about through prayer. You know, we have to pray. Yeah. And believe for them to bring them in. Claire, where did you stop at? Ben, where did she stop at?
At Psalm 75 and 5.
I'm sorry, I just didn't know how to get there on my phone.
Oh
okay. Yeah, okay.
But Ben can read. It's nice to hear Ben read. Let Ben read.
All right.
Actually, it's
Ben read.
Oh, yeah. Psalm 75 and 5. Lift not up your horn on high, your might, power, or voice being heard. Speak not with a stiff neck, for neither from the east, nor from the west, nor yet from the south, cometh lifting up. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and lifteth up another. Much has been said recently about the hidden powers that are manipulating the duped masses to get their man into office. And there is truth to this, but God is sovereignly behind it all to work his will. Fleshly power, wisdom, manipulation, or money lifts up no one. The men of means do not rule this world by their own design. It only appears that way for God's purpose. Just as God sovereignly puts into office, he takes out of the office. He also gives us signs of this control along the way. The president in office on every 20th year died in office until Reagan. 1840, William Henry Harrison died in office. 1860, Abraham Lincoln assassinated. 1880, James A. Garfield assassinated. 1900, William McKinley assassinated. 1920, Warren G. Harding died in office. 1940, Franklin D. Roosevelt died in office. 1960, John F. Kennedy assassinated. 1980, Ronald Reagan survived assassination attempt. Why did this obvious pattern stop with Reagan? And is he the last? God knows, I believe, used the faith and prayers of many Christians who knew about this cycle to bring it to an end. The millennial Sabbath, or the actual year 6000 AM, September 2001-2002,
may be the beginning of a new dealing with the sins of God's people. Spiritually, according to type, judgment comes on those who do not cease from their works on the Sabbath. Two of the most famous of these presidents, who were 100 years apart, had obviously God-ordained parallels. Abraham Lincoln was elected to Congress in 1846. John F. Kennedy was elected to Congress in 1946. Abraham Lincoln was elected president in 1860. John F. Kennedy was elected president in 1960. Both were concerned with civil rights. Both their wives lost children while living in the White House. Both presidents were shot on a Friday. Both presidents were shot in the head. Kennedy's secretary was named Lincoln. Both were succeeded by Southerners named Johnson. Andrew Johnson, who succeeded Lincoln, was born in 1808. Lyndon Johnson, who succeeded Kennedy, was born in 1908. Both assassins were known by their three names. Both names are composed of 15 letters. Lincoln was shot at the theater named Ford. Kennedy was shot in a car called Lincoln, made by Ford. Booth and Oswald were killed before their trials. Coincidence? It takes less faith to believe in a sovereign God. Psalm 75 and 7. But God.
Let's stop there. We're out of time, man. We'll stop here at Psalm 75, 7. Pick it up there Thursday night. Unless the Lord changes some. Okay, that's pretty interesting about Lincoln and Kennedy. That shows you a sovereign God, doesn't it? Pretty much.
Yes, it does.
All right, has anybody got any questions about the sovereignty of God so far in the world order? It gives us, to me, now I don't know about y'all, but to me, again, it gives me a sense of rest about what's going on around us. You know, sometimes we just get a little bit involved in politics and what's going on in the world and all this kind of stuff, but God's ordained all this stuff to happen. And he brings out the worst people in many cases to bring things to pass. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing that now. And it's not going to get much better. Now, he's already told us that Cyrus is going to be in there for the 3 years before the mid-tribulation. And that's a good thing. But that's just leading up to the worst part of it. And that's where we have to turn the other cheek and lose the flesh. And actually, right now is when you need to do that so we can be in the bride. And if you're going to be in the bride, you have to lose all that flesh behind. And I know everybody's working on it. God's working on it in us, isn't he? And we just believe him that we're that away. Praise God. If you want to be in a man child, you just believe in God for that as well. Praise God. Well, Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful book. This book has brought many to the truth. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that the people all over the world are grabbing this book and learning what it is to be a Christian and who you are and what your job is, and that's to coordinate everything that's happening around us to bring to pass that Son of Man that you want in each, or Son of God in each and every one of us. And we praise you for that, Father. We know it's happening. We believe it. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. The Lord has told us he's multiplying these books. He's going to multiply these books for everybody that needs one, for all of the evangelists over in the Middle East and Africa that are you know, printing these things out. He said, we'll send the angels out there to multiply them and get them in their hands. And there's something else coming on the deal here. And then we'll talk about that Saturday night. Praise God. So,
is everybody?
Well, no, it says, you know what it is, Missy. It's not that secret. It's no big secret. It's, I just want to keep it out of here for right now. Thank you, Lord, for helping us out here with the sovereignty of God. It's such a great knowledge to understand that we don't have to worry about a thing except this. Learning who we're supposed to be and allowing you to do it in us, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Father, that just like Theo and Geneva and all of us have done in the past, and Claire and all of them, that when something is going on in our family or going on around us, look to ourselves and repent, get back on the road and watch what happens, because you perform miracles in that respect. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for teaching us in that way. And I praise you for it, Father. You're doing it on a small scale to each one of us, and that's great. I don't like to go through the other kind. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Does anybody need prayer before we go? Well, all right. Y'all be blessed. You hear?